And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
You're listening to Mariachi Las Aguilitas de Davis Bilingual School, their first through fifth graders. Alfredo Valenzuela, who is now retired, was a teacher for more than 40 years and founded the school's mariachi program. There's a reason Valenzuela's now considered the father of mariachi music in Tucson. He's affectionately called Dr. V because he was given an honorary doctorate degree from the University of Arizona. It all started decades ago when Dr. V gave guitar lessons to his students. From guitar strings to heart strings, his students began to blossom with self-confidence. Today, Dr. V is also credited with revolutionizing bilingual education through mariachi music and inspiring kids to become successful adults. In honor of National Hispanic Heritage Month, let's celebrate the rich cultural impact Alfredo Dr. V. Valenzuela has made in the lives of so many kids in our community. Good morning and welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. Hispanic Heritage Month became a nationally recognized celebration on August 17, 1988. The goal was to recognize Hispanic culture and the people who have changed the world as we see it and celebrate their life stories. One such person in Tucson is Alfredo Valenzuela, affectionately called Dr. V. As mentioned, he's considered the father of mariachi music and founded the first mariachi program at Davis Bilingual Elementary School. Today, the school's curriculum emphasizes the beauty of diverse cultures as well as raising awareness to social justice themes. Alfredo Dr. V. Valenzuela, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. It's a big honor to have you on my show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Growing up in Klondike, Arizona, which, by the way, for some of our listeners, Klondike is a small mining and ranching town in southeast Arizona, west of Safford. At one time, the population peaked at 500 residents. Today, there's about a dozen people still living there. Dr. V, how and when did your love of music, especially for mariachi, begin in this small rural community?
I was raised up at the ranch, you know, very humbly, you know. My closest neighbors were about 5 miles away, and my closest acquaintances was my dog and my horse. But it was a very quiet place, and I remember when there used to be some gatherings, you know, there was some of my uncles and my aunts, and some of the people there were musicians, and it was just wonderful, you know. We'd gather together, and since it was so quiet, you know, the moon was out, and they'd get out their guitars and start singing Spanish music that got into my heart, and that really motivated me and put some love into my heart.
And what instrument did you start playing?
Guitar, you know, when I was probably 11 or 12 or 13 or 14, something like that, I asked my dad, how about a guitar? Can I buy a guitar? And he said, you're going to buy chaps and spurs for to work, not guitar. So I started working at the ranch there for $2 a day, and I finally earned some money to order a guitar on Sears catalog. And I ordered a little black guitar when I was probably about 17 or 18, and I started practicing there on my own. You know, there was some music sheets that came with my guitar, and I started on my own, and you know, it got a little bit from there. My brother, who's a very talented musician, he was able to tune my guitar for me, and I started from there, and you know, that's how I started, really. You know, my uncles, sometimes I'd see them play a little bit, and that kind of got a little bit of information like that, you know.
So did you immediately start to play with your family underneath the moonlight and the stars on the ranch?
No, not really. I didn't get to that talent there. You know, what happened was as I grew up, you know, I started getting a little better, but by the time I got a little to where I knew a little bit, those night meetings and sort of dissolved, you know, and I just kept practicing a little bit on my own, you know, and that's sort of how it started, you know. And I would practice a little bit. I would practice and sing a little bit on my own, eventually when I got older, you know, I started kind of playing a little bit more, you know, but it was mainly as a start on my own.
talk about how you started out as a teacher and how you switched to music and began to incorporate music, specifically mariachi music, as part of your philosophy for teaching kids.
Okay, well, what happened, you know, when I got out of the Army, you know, I came to Tucson. My kids, you know, we got married, and when my kids were real small, I got involved with church choir music, and that kind of got me playing a little bit more. And then I directed a choir at St. Monica for about 15 years or so. And then when my kids started growing, I thought, well, I better do something with my kids, you know. So I got my kids together, and we formed a dance band. You know, we started a dance band with my three children, and then my godson and some of my students that I had there. And we got pretty good, you know. I had a lot of my students that were very good singers, and then my son Jaime, he played the drums, my daughter played the accordion, and my son played the sax and guitar and everything. Rudy did this, and the music started, you know, it started going up, you know. So what happened, we would get a lot of commitments with the band, and then I started teaching at Mission View as a third grade teacher. And I started, you know, on the side, beside my classroom teaching, I started developing guitar groups. The guitar groups really took off. You know, there were some kids that were very talented, and we started playing guitar music, you know, all with the community at the TUSD functions and a lot of places. And like I say, I had a lot of success. And then I transferred to, this was my third grade. I did third grade there at Mission View. And then I transferred to Hollinger, and I did fifth grade teaching there. And right there, I developed another guitar group that really got good. And one of my teachers from Mission View, a fourth grade teacher, she became curriculum specialist when the Davis bilingual program started. And she recommended me for the music specialist job there at Davis. And that's how I was able to get into the Davis teaching job.
How rewarding has it been for you in your life to teach kids the tradition of mariachi music?
Oh, it has been a blessing. You know, it has been a super blessing for my family. You know, it kept my sons and my daughter in a positive situation. And you know, we were so involved with music, and I was with them all the time. And you know, it just like I said, it brought blessings to us. You know, and my kids never had a chance to go off into other negative situations. And when I started there at Davis, I started with the guitar group at first and did a couple of years of just guitar. And then I guess what motivated me a lot with mariachi was the mariachi conference, you know. And then of course the what I had in my heart from the very start with music. But I asked my principal. I said, "Can we start a violin class?" You know, and she said, "Well, let's try it." So we started a violin class, and then we started a guitar class and a trumpet class, and the mariachi just took off, you know. And I became the director of our extended day program there after school. And my three kids, Jaime was the started as a guitar teacher, my son Rudy as a trumpet teacher, my daughter violin as a violin teacher, and then my daughter-in-law Kathy as a, well, she started later, but they all started there in the extended day program, and the mariachi just took off. You know, they got you know, we, since the mariachi music is so popular, we just started performing, and eventually I had, believe it or not, I had 60 plus kids performing from first through fifth grade. And they got so well known, so popular, because, you know, they had their hats, they had their trajes, they had their bows, and we would perform with so many kids, and the music was very, you know, it wasn't greatly professional, but it was good, it was very attractive for people, and we got a lot of recognition, and the mariachi program just took off, you know. And you know, I've just seen so many benefits from this music, you know. As students, you know, it enhances their academics, their confidence, and parents are so supportive, and it just put so many positive situations in them as students. But as they're growing up, they're like in their teens or in their, you know, even in their college levels, they get part-time jobs with the mariachi, and it just does so much for their self-confidence. And like I said earlier about my kids, the students there, it keeps them in a positive situation without getting into different negative things like gangs or drug activities or things like this. And it just does wonders. And you know what I see, so such a blessing there. My extended day program developed big time. We had sometimes 200, some up to 300 kids there. And a lot of my ex-students, as they had been going up to high school, they became students, I mean, teachers there. And they just, you know, it was such a blessing to see that, you know, that so many students that started there had such positive situations. And then not only that, you know, but after they have grown even more, they have become professional teachers and professional mariachi performers. And this does, it just fills my heart with so much satisfaction, you know.
When we come back, we'll continue honoring Alfredo Dr. V. Valenzuela and his contributions as a father of mariachi music in Tucson.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Aplausos for Las Alguilitas at Davis Bilingual Elementary School. Alfredo Valenzuela, who is now a retired teacher, founded the mariachi program at Davis, affectionately called Dr. V. He's now considered the father of mariachi music in Tucson. Today, he's also credited with revolutionizing bilingual education through mariachi music. Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. In honor of National Hispanic Heritage Month, we are celebrating Alfredo Dr. V. Valenzuela and the impact he's had on the lives of so many kids in our community.
What does it feel like when a former student who is now a successful adult comes up to you and thanks you for enriching them in life through the teachings of mariachi music?
Well, I'll tell you what, that is such a blessing to me. And it's a constant thing, you know. A lot of my students, you know, they've had these successes, and they come and they, when they see me, you know, they, so many of them just come and tell me, you know, that they have that because of me. And, you know, God, it just does wonders in my heart, you know. And, you know, I've seen so much success with my students. You know, I guess we all know Dr. Richard Carranza. He was one of my students at Tollinger. And he developed his own groups, and he became to the point of being school superintendents at about three or four different places. Right now, he's the main one in New York. And everywhere he was superintendent, he developed mariachi programs. And boy, he's one of them, the one that makes me so proud. It just enriches me so much to see that, you know, the effect that something like this that I have done in somebody's life. And every time he comments something on his success, he mentions my name. And boy, that fulfills my heart, let me tell you. That is so touching.
What life lesson do you think mariachi music instills in kids who take up the art of performing?
Well, let me tell you, like I was saying earlier, you know, that it does so much academically and to build confidence in them. And, you know, they I can see so much love that they have to for it. You know, I'm so fortunate for not only my two kids and my daughter, but a lot of the students have developed mariachi groups on their own, you know. And I see this enthusiasm, this love that the kids have in their performances. And it just touches me so much to see that, you know, and a lot of those students, I retired about, 8 years ago or so, but my son Jaime, he took over the position there at Davis, and a lot of these students, they know me very well because I continue there. I had a church choir that I continued there in the after school, and I'm very involved with them. You know, I always help Jaime tune instruments and everything, and a lot of those students, they come and they give me recognition for what I started, you know, and boy, this really touches me because I can feel so much satisfaction that I have had in students' lives, you know, and it just makes me so happy to see that, you know.
Today, kids of all races embrace mariachi music at Davis Bilingual Elementary. When did you realize that music would bond us all together? Not just as Latinos and Hispanics, but you have non-Latinos, non-Hispanics who are also involved with wanting to learn mariachi music and embrace the culture.
Exactly, exactly. You know, honestly, some of my most precious dedicated students have been non-Hispanic students. A lot of my Anglo students have been amazing, and a lot of them have continued the mariachi, and my African-American students, you know, they have loved the music, and I see them performing, you know, and with love, you know, with enthusiasm, with a lot of heart, and that touches me so much, you know, and it really has made an impact, really, you know, because, you know, I hate to, you know, to brag about this, but the Aguilitas have formed, you know, they have instilled a lot of influence in other schools to develop mariachi music, you know. And I have this one special school that I like to mention, White Elementary. One of the teachers there, he was the father of one of my Aguilitas. And he, you know, what really inspires me is that he's, first of all, he's an Anglo person, and he's a non-music, he's not a musician, but he told me, he says, I have so much love for the music, for the mariachi music, and what you do with the kids, that I'm going to make a program at White. To this day, right now, he has about 40 kids performing beautifully at White and at the White Elementary School, you know. And it's not just there, you know. There's a lot of other places where the mariachi has taken off, the middle schools, the high schools, and everything, you know. And I see this bond, you know. I see this bond, this cultural bond among, you know, all the races. Usually, they all love mariachi music, because the mariachi music is very attractive, you know. You know, the solo singers, you know, the type of music, you know, it's a music that is played everywhere, you know. I mean, you know, all the activity, almost every activity, birthdays, you know, anniversaries, weddings, funerals, everywhere, you know. And it's just beautiful to see that, you know.
What is it about mariachi music that pulls at the heartstrings of those who perform it, the kids? How does it strike a chord within the heart, especially for these kids?
What I always used to love to see was the soloists. You know, they were always, you know, we'd have a song sometimes, and that maybe it wasn't planned who was going to sing it or something. Half the group of 60 kids, you know, raise their hand, yay, you know. So, boy, that really inspires you, you know. You know, you can tell that they love it. You know, like I say, mariachi music is, there's soloists, there's different instrumental situations, you know, with the different groups. And it's just very enhancing. It's very, it really gets into your heart, you know. It's beautiful, you know. I love it myself, you know. I like to say something very special here. I'm not a very talented musician. I'm not, you know, and I admit it. But God did bless me with patience and love for children. And I developed groups that they were very attractive. They had good music. They didn't have the professional type of music as my son Jaime has developed, and Rudy, and all of my former students. But you know, the kids grew with love in their hearts, you know. And something that really makes a difference, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, is that if you teach them with inspiration and motivation from the start, they get into it and they really want to do it, you know. And that's mariachi music is very attractive because of that, you know. First of all, they're learning the instruments quickly, you know. It's not, I mean, I don't put down the reading of the music and everything, which is a must, but if you concentrate on that, a lot of the students kind of get, you know, they get a little bit bored about it. But with mariachi as kids, you know, they see this beautiful thing coming out immediately. You know, oh, I'm going to sing. Oh, I'm going to play in front of the microphone. And this inspires them, you know. And then since the mariachi music is attractive, you know, you've got cumbias, you've got boleros, you've got polkas, you've got the three quarters, you've got everything, different types of music. And a lot of it is very, very attractive, you know, and they get into it, you know, the kids get into it. And that's, it means so much because of their, you know, of their instant motivation that they get, you know.
I understand you stay busy in retirement by fixing instruments for kids. Exactly. Is that a way to make sure that kids who can't afford instruments, such as yourself when you were a kid, have instruments?
I try to do the best I can with that. You know, it's so critical. You know, there are kids that you know, on their own, they can't afford it. And I try to give out to the ones that I'm pretty sure that can't have that opportunity. And I'd like to mention somebody very special. You know, the Southwest Strings has donated, I don't know how many instruments. I'm not kidding you. I once took a sort of like a little inventory in my mind as to how many instruments they've given me. And believe it or not, it's in the thousands. They have a very high standard, you know, and any little thing that happens with an instrument, they're not willing to sell it because they have a real high standard. And when they saw my success with the kids there, they were donating instruments to me like crazy. When I had the extended day program there, I was in charge. Believe it or not, all of the kids that would come in from other schools, they would take an instrument from the violins I had there to play. And at the end of the 5-week program, I tell them, all of you that are interested in mariachi big time, that's your violin. And they would take the violins. And we would have hundreds of kids going in there every year, you know, and they would keep the violins. And that was, and because of Southwest Strings, you know, it was amazing. And my son Jaime and Myrna, my daughter Myrna, she's a teacher at Roskridge right now, a violin, and they have all so many violins because of Southwest Strings. And not only them, I tried to donate a lot of instruments to other schools, you know, so that they can do something with the kids that need help, you know.
When we come back, we'll continue honoring Alfredo Dr. V. Valenzuela and his contributions as a father of mariachi music in Tucson. Tucson's Hispanic Voices, a special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood, she's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
We've all become familiar with the sound of violins, guitars, and trumpets, the traditional sound of mariachi music. Thanks to Alfredo Valenzuela, or Dr. V as he is affectionately called, there's a reason he's considered the father of mariachi music. Valenzuela, who is now retired, taught at Davis Bilingual Elementary School and founded its mariachi program made up of first through fifth graders. Today, Dr. V, who was given an honorary doctorate degree from the University of Arizona, is also credited with revolutionizing bilingual education through mariachi music. Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. In honor of National Hispanic Heritage Month, we are recognizing the rich cultural impact Alfredo Dr. V. Valenzuela has made in the lives of so many kids in our community. Today, mariachi music is part of the curriculum that's inspiring kids at Davis Bilingual Elementary School to live successful lives.
Your passion for mariachi music has been passed down for generations. Obviously, you mentioned your son Jaime, who took over for you at Davis Bilingual bilingual. Your other son, Rudy, and daughter, Myrna, teach music at Roskridge bilingual. And your granddaughter, Araceli, is also a music teacher at Davis. How special is it that they are carrying on your legacy?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You know, my granddaughter, she's the violin teacher there at Davis. And also my daughter-in-law, Kathy, she taught there at the Extended Day Program at Davis too. And you know, something else that just blesses me so much, all of my grandchildren, all of them, right now I have 9, they're all involved in music. And boy, let me tell you, some talent. Those kids are amazing. I have my 2 granddaughters, Marcy and Chuchi. They were performers with Aslan, Mariachi Aslan at Pueblo. And my grandson, RJ, he's the guitarron player with them right now. And then my other 2 granddaughters, Clarissa and Bella, they're wonderful violin players. Boy, they are amazing.
So with all of that music talent in your family, what are family gatherings like?
They get a little wild, let me tell you. But it's beautiful to see my grandchildren playing so beautiful. You know, but it's my, you know, gatherings, and it's so sad that now we don't have hardly too many. But when we had, when before this COVID thing started, we used to have a lot of gatherings with not only my family, but, you know, a lot of my students, and these are the groups that are performing. They would come with us, you know, because it was beautiful mariachi gathering. You know, they knew that we were going to be entertaining and having a good time, and a lot of my ex students would come. And boy, it was it was so beautiful to have so many of my ex-students coming and having a good time with us at these parties. And boy, let me tell you, we would have some wonderful music. It would be amazing, you know, to have not only my family, but all my ex-students coming and performing and having such a good time. It was beautiful, you know, and this COVID-19 just breaks my heart. You know, I don't know. Right now, we don't know what's going to happen, you know. There's no Aguilitas performances. There's no big mariachi groups performing. It's so sad, you know. It just breaks my heart.
How do you see mariachi music evolving and educating kids in public schools in the future?
Well, it's wonderful, you know. First of all, you know, like I said earlier, it enhances their academic skills in everything, you know. Really, you know, there's been studies, many studies done that mariachi students, you know, that it enhances their academics. And you know, the love that they have for the music, you know, it's so beautiful. You know, when I was a teacher there, when I was at Davis, I remember I used to have a morning class before school started, 45 minutes or so. And then I'd have it, and during lunch, I'd invite the kids to come and practice their instruments, practice guitar, whatever. And I'd have my classroom full. Kids would come. I mean, that's taken away from their playground. And I'm not kidding you. I'd have a classroom full. And boy, I mean, this really told me something, you know, that they love it, you know, and they're inspired by it. And let me tell you, I think that makes such a difference, you know, in having them go to school.
A project to build a statue of you in your honor and erect it outside of Davis is underway.
Yeah,
how special is that?
Well, I guess, boy, that is so amazing, you know. But I think, you know, sometimes I think, I don't know if I deserve so much, but you know, some of my parents, you know, they decided, you know, to let's go for this statue. And I said, well, I'm for it, I guess, you know. But it's so touching to have them think about that, you know. God, it really amazes me.
You kind and of I, seem you know, like you're embarrassed about it because you don't want to take that credit. But at the same time, you really do deserve that credit, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I there's been so many students that have come out and had success, you know, that, you know, I think, yeah, I guess I do, you know, I guess I do. And I want to thank all these people so much that are willing to honor me with this. You know, it's so touching, you know, I really appreciate it. And I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart. You know, it's so beautiful. Like I say, you know, I was never I'm not a very talented musician, but to see so much success of my students, you know, it makes me feel something wonderful. And, you know, because of all the success that I've seen with so many as students, I guess I do deserve that statue, you know. But I feel a little humble about it. But I just want to thank them from the bottom of my heart.
Is that your legacy? And is that what you want your legacy to be?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I don't want them to think that I feel I was so talented and everything so great. You know, I just want them to know that God put some love and some patience in my heart for children, and that's what I want people to think about me.
Alfredo, Dr. V. Valenzuela, it's been a pleasure having you on Tucson's Hispanic Voices. You are always welcome on this show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such an honor for you to ask me to do this. It's wonderful. Thank you so much. You know, it really touches me.
It's truly my honor. So congratulations for the amazing work you have done in educating our kids through the teachings of mariachi music. We are a better community because of you. Thank you. And don't forget
that.
Promise?
Thank you. I promise. Thank you so much. And God bless you for your wonderful love and your generosity and your caring, okay?
Thank you.
You bet.
Now, there's an effort underway to build a statue of Dr. V in front of Davis Bilingual Elementary School. To find out information on how you can donate, go to Facebook and search Dr. V Project or type in the symbol at, followed by Mariachi Tucson AZ, all one word, to find the page. David Membrilla is also organizing a GoFundMe account to raise money to fund the statue project.
Tucson's Hispanic Voices. A special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. We continue our celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month. I do want to switch gears a little bit to talk about a very important event that will help our children continue to obtain a quality education. It's called Sunnyside Gives Day. The digital online fundraising event will be held on Tuesday, September 22nd. The goal is to raise $50,000 to help continue serving students, teachers, and families within the Sunnyside Unified School District. In conjunction, KVOI 1030 The Voice and our sister station 106.3 The Groove will host a radiothon in the coming week to help raise money to support the Sunnyside Foundation. My guest is Naomi Proaño. She's a marketing and community relations leader with over 25 years experience. Naomi's community involvement in both the English and Spanish speaking markets is second to none. She's extremely involved in numerous community events. Most notably, Naomi has served on the Sunnyside Foundation for 10 years now and helped organize this very important fundraiser, Sunnyside Gives Day.
Naomi Proaño, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Thank you, Steve. This is an honor. I'm so happy to be here. I appreciate your invite.
Especially during COVID and with online learning from home, explain just how great the need is to raise money to support students and student programs within the Sunnyside Unified School District, which, by the way, is Tucson's second largest district.
That's correct. And 84% of the students are Hispanic. And for a lot of people that don't know, but Sunnyside was established in 1921, and they have 12 between 12 and 13 elementary schools, 5 middle schools, and 3 high schools, Sunnyside, Blue Devils, Desert View Jaguars, and Star Academy. So, and I'm an alumni as well, so I'm a proud alumni from the Sunnyside School District.
In talking to Superintendent Steve Holmes, who, by the way, is a dear friend of mine, he talked about the need within the district.
It is a big need, and because also the district vision is for every child to be prepared and for college, career, and community. That's very important for people to understand. It's not just for only for them to go to school, but to be prepared and start thinking at an early, you know, mindset that they have to be ready for college and for community in order for them to, you know, be part of the growing innovative infrastructure of our own communities within our own cities, so we can continue building that strong talent. And the foundation, like you said, you know, with COVID, in the past, we've always done our fundraising in the month of October. And we always do it like around the later part of the month. And we do an annual luncheon. And between 250, 300 people attend at this luncheon. But due to COVID, obvious reasons, we had to change it to a virtual donation. And it's simple. It started, you know, 2 weeks ago, and it's going to end until September 22nd. However, donations are always welcome, no matter. But the National Day for Gives Day is September 22nd, and we're calling it the Sunnyside Gives Day. We're Sunnyside Strong, and we're calling it the Sunnyside Gives Day. And it's just very simple. It's a matter of a click at your own time and your phone, on your computer, your iPad, www.sunnysidefoundation.org. But we've always done the funding to raise money for the excellence in education, for literacy and STEM resources, enrichment programs to focus on certain programs on the academies, for example, that the high schools have to provide for these students. If they want to be career focused, why don't you try the medical academy or the computer and science and lab and biology or the technology IT academy? Or the drafting, which right now is phenomenal at the school district at Sunnyside because they actually get certified. But then they also have field trips, SAT, PSAT, and AP test scholarships, instruments, uniforms, art supplies, and college campus tours. That's all part of the excellence in education. But since the kids are not going to school, the students, they're all doing it from home remotely. Since May, we noticed that there was issues pending at the homes of these children. So we created, as the foundation, an emergency relief fund. And what is this emergency relief fund? How does it help our, it helps our families? Because if a student doesn't have a stable home foundation from food to resources and tools, then it's going to affect their learning process. And that's why when Steve says that we need the help and the the foundation is there. And so we helped, Steve, I don't know if you were aware, but we helped with 450 Wi-Fi hotspots. You know, that's been an issue nationwide with a lot of families not having internet. And we helped with the Wi-Fi hotspots, 800 emergency food boxes, 1,000 backpacks. But the biggest help that we did was $20,000 in rent and utilities. A lot of the families were laid off, and they're still laid off. And before the moratorium law took place in Arizona, there were a lot of, you know, to eliminate that process of being evicted, the foundation raised, you know, from last year's money, and they helped in and stepped up with these families with $20,000 in rent and utilities. So that was a major, major help. And it's a big relief, and these parents are so grateful.
Naomi, I know you mentioned that the goal for Sunnyside Gives Day is to raise $50,000. And I know you just also mentioned that the foundation helped 450 students with internet services. So if someone chooses to give in other ways, like, for example, donating Wi-Fi cards to make sure kids can connect to the internet to continue their online remote classes, is there a way to make such a donation in lieu of cash?
You know what? That's a wonderful idea, Steve. I like that because it's anything to help our families and our students and even our teachers in any type of donation. Absolutely, they could give us a call. And our executive director, her name is Carrie Lopez Howell. And then if they want to call me direct, I'm a board member. You know, I've been on the board for at least 10 years. Yes, definitely. And we also on our website, they could, you know, send in a message. And it's the www.sunnysidefoundation.org. Very simple. And the phone number to get in touch with our executive director is Carrie, area code 520-400-6921.
Again, Sunnyside Gives Day is a digital online fundraising event that'll be held on Tuesday, September 22nd. Naomi, explain the process to donate for people who are in a position to give.
They just go online through their, like I said, their cell phone, their laptop, or an iPad, and they just memorize this address, email address, our foundation website, www.sunnysidefoundation.org.
And it's safe to donate online, correct?
Absolutely. We revamped our website. You'll see it. It's very easy to navigate. And on the first homepage, the first thing you'll see is a click button. On top, it says donate. You could click through there, or you could click on events. And we have an event landing page where you're going to see our event sponsors, like The Voice. Thank you for your radio station, Bustos Media, and The Groove. You guys have been phenomenal media partners.
Thank you.
Cox Communications, I thank them as well for, they gave Sunnyside Foundation a discount to help us with, you know, the Wi-Fi, and that's been wonderful for our family.
And we should mention, 90% of all donated funds are invested directly back into student programs.
Yes,
which is a big 90%. Deal, especially when it comes to donating to foundations or any other organization for that matter, is that the majority of all the money is put right back in to where it should go, the kids.
Absolutely. What we want to promote also is to provide them with that equality of education, just because they might be in a, you know, in a diverse section of town per se, you know, or financial means, doesn't mean that they cannot get the same resources or education or programs. And Steve has been wonderful about, you know, changing a lot of the programming to be very focused and make it interesting, compelling, and fun yet for the students, you know, to attend these different academies within the high schools and or the, you know, middle schools, to start preparing them with that mindset, not just to go to school, but also to get ready mindset as prepared is to start thinking of what career, what college, and what are they going to do positive in the community.
I think what the foundation is doing is absolutely amazing. So I want to congratulate you and all of the foundation board members, along with the superintendent and everyone else who's involved in this. I'd like to say something, though, that I understand will happen if you reach your goal of raising $50,000.
Absolutely.
Superintendent Steve Holmes will dye his hair, what is it, blondish white, to resemble Guy Fieri of the Food Network, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives show?
Yes, that platinum.
What an incentive. Now we have to really push to reach this goal, because I'd love to see Steve Holmes sport a Guy Fieri hairdo.
And you guess what? We're going to film it on Facebook Live. And I want to thank the hair shop. The owner's husband, he's an alumni from the Sunnyside School District. And the hair shop at the Tucson Spectrum is going to be the sponsor. But we will film it. So you don't have to come down. We could film it and you'll watch it on Facebook Live of our superintendent dyeing his hair blonde. And if we meet the goal, and right now we're at 17,000, Steve. And I want to thank, like, for example, local business Crest Insurance, and also Alliance Bank of Southern Arizona, and along with some other sponsors like the Community Foundation, and anyone of our community that has donated. But big thanks to Bustos Media and you, Steve, for your time.
I'll share a quick story with you.
Yeah.
This is how rewarding it is if you reach the goal of $50,000 to have Steve Holmes dye his hair. In college, we went to school together at the U of A. We were both part of the same fraternity, Omega Delta Phi, the first Hispanic fraternity on the U of A campus. Steve Holmes used to have long hair. He's cleaned up a lot.
Yes, he was, you know,
so to see him get his hair dyed blonde is going to be pretty awesome.
If we surpass the $50,000, maybe he shouldn't grow his hair into that mullet, that rock star mullet.
All right, let's reach that goal. We're $33,000 away from reaching the $50,000 goal. I'm confident, si se puede. Yes, we can do it.
Exactly. And you know what, Stephen, when people think of donations, they think, well, right now I'm laid off. Maybe, you know, they might be in a situation that exact because of this pandemic. And maybe they say, well, I don't have $100 or $200 to donate. But Steve, there's almost 1 million people in the city. If we all donated, you know, or half the city donated just $5 or $10. But there's some people that might want to give $100 or $500. But if you just want to give $5, $10, $15, $20, and it'd be kind of neat, Steve, you know, for parents to open up that computer in front of their kids and say, I'm going to help you and show you what it's like, how easy it is to donate. I think that's part of life that we should teach kids as well, is to pay it forward in our community.
I agree with you. Paying it forward is one of the biggest lessons we can teach our kids, especially in today's times. Again, how easy is it just to donate $1, $2, $5, $10, $100 if you have it to Sunnyside Gives Day?
And exactly. And some people might say, well, you know what? I didn't go to that school. I didn't go to that school district. It's not about who went to what school. It's about our community in general, because I think it's important to build the talent within our own community to make them strong and for companies to hire within our own community, because they're talented and they're educated and they have the resources growing up.
Amen. We are one community strong. Good luck. I hope and I pray that Sunnyside Gives Day reaches its goal of $50,000. Together, we can make a positive difference in our community. Naomi, thank you for being on Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I greatly appreciate all the work that you do, not only through Sunnyside Foundation, but throughout our community in general. You are involved in so many things, and it's great to see you excelling and being so impactful within our community. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Steve, for your time and people like you that have the platforms to help our community and let us share, you know, those communities that are in need and just to help our kids and get and, you know, move forward. So thank you as well.
Tucson's Hispanic Voices, a special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood, she's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by Native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo. That does it for this week's Tucson's Hispanic Voices. Tune in every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on KVOY 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Nunez. See you on the radio next week.